So if you have John T. Christian, we'll be looking at tonight. Also, Trail of Blood, also streaming. We have some reading. You know, I've said this before, and I've talked to a few people. You know, I can read a little bit, and I can gather information, and I write pages of notes, and I can do all that. I can stand up here and just read it off to you and regurgitate it to you and everything. But I do believe that if you see it, if you look at it, it helps you to retain it or at least know where the information's at. So that's the way I have chosen to do this. I'm not getting on you, but the books help. They do help. All right. So here's one. Start off with a couple of questions here. Don't answer this out loud. I'd like everybody just to think on it. Sometimes we ask questions and we have the four people, three people that answer. And some of us don't put a lot of thought into the answer. We just wait to see what brother so-and-so is going to say. All right, chew on this for a little bit. You're with your friend, you're with your neighbor, you're with your whatever co-worker in your talk. What is a Protestant? And I know your pastor knows what a Protestant is, but what is a Protestant? Chew on that for a second. All right. What is a Protestant? What's the Reformation? What is that? If you don't know what the Reformation is, it's not like you're a bad person, but you might want to know this. When did the Reformation take place? All right. Everybody has a trail of blood, right? Go ahead and turn back to your chart. Turn back to your chart. I hope that you have taken time to look at this chart. This chart is a good visual. It's a good guide, you know. All right. A Protestant. Anybody? A Protestant.
That's wrong.
Say that again.
Catholic Church.
Okay, one that protested against the Roman Catholic Church, the teachings, the doctrines, the traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. All right? Now, I'm thinking if you talk to a bunch of Protestants today in 2024, I don't think they would know that answer. All right? Well, that's just a label that's been given to us in the encyclopedia or whatever the case is, right? So, in 1517... Brother Jim, go ahead.
Well, people have asked me, what am I when I talk about the Lord? And I say, I'm a Baptist. And they say, oh, you're a Protestant. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Catholic Church, Protestant, the Baptist, or Christ.
Did anybody hear what Brother Jim just said? Can you guys hear? Mm-hmm. Can you see his facial expressions? Mm-hmm. I'll share them with you later. All right. Appreciate you saying that. That's what we're going to. This is, by the way, this is not our lesson tonight. This is free. I would love to get on the Reformation. I would love to, but it's not going to happen. So this is just going to be a quick free one. Hey, in 1517, how many years ago is that? 1517. Approximately how many years ago? Ooh, get a calculator out. It's on your phone.
500.
Approximately 500 years ago. Everybody understands that, right? Martin Luther, great, this Catholic, studying, sitting in the library, all that stuff. He posted a 95-point thesis, and he protested against the unbiblical, care that? The unbiblical teachings and practices and traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? 500 years ago. Got looking at some scriptures and started comparing it to what the Roman Catholic Church was practicing, doing traditions. And this is, Brother Ronnie said, the one that officially protested the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? Now, there was others at the time, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin. And what these guys did is they bucked up against, so to speak, And they led out in the Reformation, which was the fixing, reforming, changing, making the Catholic Church better, etc. Okay? Protestants, the Reformation. Okay, you have your chart there. Everybody see the black line up there? Follow along. I hope you've read the bottom. Yes, 100 years, 100 years, 100 years. So, in 1869, can you see that? There's a split between the Greek Catholic and the Roman Catholic. Everybody see that, I hope, right? You don't have... Okay. All right. I've handed out a lot of trouble. Keep going along there until you come to the 1531. You see that, Church of England? Or 1530, the Lutheran Church. Anybody see that? Everybody see it? All right. That Church of England, that's your Episcopalian. Maybe you've heard of Henry VIII before. Some of you maybe have, right? Look up at the 1530. That's the Lutheran. Anybody heard of Martin Luther? Not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther. All right. Well, this Martin Luther is the guy that wrote this thing. He said the Catholic Church, this was the start of the Reformation. Brother Ronnie said he protested against Catholicism, the teaching, the praxis, the traditions of the Catholic Church. Now, if you could hear what Brother Jim had to say, this leads to my point. I don't know if you've ever had a talk. Or if you've ever had a discussion with, well, what makes your church different? Why are you, or how come you're different than us? Anybody ever had somebody talk to them about that? See a couple of heads go up and down. What makes your church different? And I'm not going to say this is a cookie cutter answer, but here it goes. Here's an answer. Because we have the Holy Spirit as comforter. And that works. Is that true? Does that work? Except, yeah. Well, don't what we? So what we do? Or what is together? So you can give a correct answer, and you've moved no inches toward helping. All right. Here's one. We use the King James Version. Well, is there a difference? Or we do too? Right. Well, here's one. Well, the difference between our church and yours, and I, you know, we read the Bible, use the Bible only as sole authority and practice. We follow the scriptures like in the church in the New Testament. Well, we do too. Don't everybody. So right now, have you established a difference? Mm-mm. Now, there's more. There's other things we go. Well, we immerse and we have. Okay, we can go in a lot of stuff there, but you're just. Choom, 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 right over their heads. Now, what did you hear what Brother Jim said? Now, this is sort of cut and dry. Well, your church, you're a Protestant church. And you can give a little bit of history. And you can say, you know, the Lutheran, their leader, their founder, Martin Luther, the Lutheran, they didn't. And the Presbyterian, the Episcopal, they looked at some of the way the Catholic Church was doing things back in the 1500s, and they disagreed with it, and they protested, they ran for their lives, they fought a war, and they, ready for this, started their own church, and they reformed the Catholic Church. Now, that's history. That is history. That's if they know what an encyclopedia is, it's in the encyclopedia. And then you say, we never protested the Roman Catholic Church. We never reformed because before the Roman Catholic Church, we were here.
We didn't come out of.
Everybody hearing that? All right. Now, then they still have to believe that and accept that, but you've established something that they can go look and find when their church started, because it's there in their history. They can find the dates, and they can find the one that started it. And then they're going to say, well, I read something about Anabaptists. Turn to Matthew 16, 18, And that's when you're going to find when our church started, the one like Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if they're going to fight you over that. They don't know their doctrines. They don't know whatever. But you're going to maybe point out that is the difference. We are not part of Catholicism, never have been a part. Now, if they want to listen to you, you can go a little bit to 251 AD. You might know that, right? You could talk a little bit about that stuff. But the point of it is, give them something that they can't refute. Oh, yeah, we did have a start. Yes, we came out of, and now we can start with that. Then maybe they're going to accept some of the scriptures. They're going to accept this about the Comforter. They're going to accept this or whatever. I don't know. I need to get saved first. That always helps, right? Yes, sir.
Two things. One, they protested us, basically.
Exactly.
First, they were protesting, speaking too close to the doctrine. The other thing is, I think sometimes when it's my church versus your church, you're never going to win that argument. So talk to them about why the Catholic society be different than those early churches there. What made them different? Because if they can distinguish the difference between the disagreements early on, they might see, well, okay, which church today is going to follow those doctrines. But as long as it's, you know, well, my church is right, your church is wrong, that always makes that conversation difficult. And so sometimes I find that moving in a completely different ground helps.
And so, and if you get talking, and they're going to, and if you have their ear, and they start hearing that amongst themselves, there was 95 things that was against the grain. All right. And so the point of it is, they can't be all grouped in as a Protestant, right? And it's for 2,000 years, we have had brethren that have stood and believed that there has been a difference. Okay. And so this is the nugget, because we're not going to be able to teach on the Reformation, but I still want to share. If you have string, Christian, page 92. Ashcraft, page 177. You get a picture if you have this book. You don't get a picture. You get a picture, Brother Nathan. Go with this one. All right. Page 177. All right. Everybody's there, right? Good. 92 and 177. You know, what I think about Baptist history and studying is 500 years ago, our brethren were dealing with the same thing. Well, what makes you so different? What do you mean? It's the same thing. So we're taking this back. I'm trying to take you back to the time when your brethren, my brethren, at the time of the Reformation. And can you imagine being there at the time of the Reformation when this protesting of Rome was taking place? And wanting just to group you in, come and join us. We're protesting to Rome. You know what? You will find in history where Baptists, ready for this? Here it comes, fought side by side, is he going to say this, with Lutherans against the Catholic Church. They fought physically. Spiritually, they were never in agreement. All right? Never. And what ends up happening, which I'm not going to be able to teach on this, is after the Lutherans got the stronghold, in the land of Germany, maybe you heard of Germany, all right? After they got control and they ran off the Catholics and they turned on their Baptist brethren and started killing them, doing the same thing that was being done to them when they were in, all right. So yes, this has been going on for a long time. We never did join in the belief that we're all protesting the Roman Catholic doctrine. Never was part of it. Just fighting for our lives. Go ahead.
So, you might have an answer for this, you might not. Why did the Greek Catholics just kind of go off and do their own thing? They never come up? Because it seems like it always ties back to Roman Catholic Church, and the Greeks are kind of just there, but never heard.
Brother Doug is 20 times smarter than me on this. My understanding is the Greek, the Orthodox, right? Eastern Orthodox, right? If you have Jerusalem, you got Israel, you go east. Those folks went that direction, right? And the Romans into the west, right? Am I getting that the right direction? If I'm getting that right, okay. most of our history comes from Europe, right? Do you want to add to this, Brother Doug? I mean,
just to split off about the same time that when Roman Catholicism, 150 years even after the church, it wasn't until about 500, but I probably have the date wrong, when they appointed the Pope over everything, one of those Eastern Orthodox Catholics rejected that, and that's when a lot of that split came, because they weren't going to submit to the Pope.
And thank you. And then
the other half, another one
there was
held on to. That's why Catholics are split into that Eastern and Western, generally because the Eastern wasn't going to, didn't agree with, and weren't going to submit to the Pope.
There were times where there was two or three popes at the same time. Okay? Just think of emperors fighting for position and whatever, okay? So the politics, okay? Were there a few things different? Well, one of them is the baptism, the mode of baptism, okay? There's like a couple of things, but they're going to, we got to see that firsthand in the Church of Nativity. They're going to be together one day. Go ahead.
Do they all claim the same Pope Francis?
I don't know that answer.
No.
Brother Cooper says no. I don't know a lot about that.
Orthodox still not.
Okay.
Still separate.
All right. Here we go. Page 92. I guess I'll read this here. First paragraph. Everybody there? Page 92. And this right here, Christian. Okay. The Baptists. Everybody see that? The Baptists of the Reformation claim that they had an ancient origin that went so far as to suggest a succession of churches. So this is at the time of the Reformation. All right, just think of that. All right, just think of that. This 1500s there. Just think of it. No, we're not protesting the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because we have a succession of churches all the way back to the Apostle Jesus Christ himself. This is what they claim. This was their battle. This is what their thoughts 500 years ago. This claim was put forth by them at the very beginning of the Reformation, AD 1521. I hope you guys catch this. An old letter is in existence, founding, oh boy, Successio Anabaptistica. How's that, huh? The letter bears its own date as that of the Swiss Brethren, written to the Netherlands Anabaptists, respecting their origin. Chew on that for a second. A group of brethren wrote to another group, probably did some investigating, and respected their origin. Mm-hmm. All right?
You mean they checked their lineage?
They checked their lineage.
They were of like faith and
a year before in 1522. All right? The letter is particularly important since it shows that the Baptists, as early as 1521, claims a succession. See, it's not just folks today claiming this. Rattle the chain back. It's been claimed for a long time. This is just one time right here at the beginning, at this protesting of the Roman Catholic Church. Okay, Van Gent, a Roman Catholic, quotes the letter and calls the Anabaptists locusts, which last as apes of the Catholics boasted as having an apostolic succession. I don't really understand all that, but I don't think it's very good. All right, keep reading here. The author of the Successio Anabaptistic says, I'm dealing with the Mennonites or Anabaptists who pride themselves as having an apostolic succession. That is, the mission and the extraction from the apostles, who claim that the true church is found nowhere except among themselves alone and their congregation, since with them alone remains the true understanding of the scriptures. Anybody have a problem with that? Is that the truth? Is that true today? I mean, that's a hard thing to say to the person you're trying to talk to. Says, yeah, you don't understand the scriptures. I mean, that's hard, right? But you can't wish you. This here is the truth, and our churches have had the truth. Those that have stayed true to the doctrines. Okay. To that end, they appeal to the letter of the AISS and want to explain with the SS, and thus they sell to the simple folks glass rubies for precious stones. All right. If one charges them with the newness of their sect, they claim that the true church during the time of the dominion of the Catholic Church was hidden in her. All right, this is from an enemy of our brother. Okay. All right. Now, the point of this inquiry is that the Swiss Baptist wrote a letter in 1522 on the apostolic origin of their churches in reply to one they had received the year before from the Baptists of the Netherlands. And the Roman Catholic condemned them on that account. All right. I would say, I know this for a fact, but I would say that, what's that word? Help me with this. The ecumenical. Help me with this. What's this? All the churches of the...
What's ecumenical?
Yeah. I would say when they get together, these ecumenical, all these different churches here, whatever, I'm sure they're condemning the true church, the Baptist churches today. All right? And it has happened. All right? Yeah, that was pretty... For this about the Reformation, I just keep running across those things. I love to find these little nitpicks here in these books. But yeah, okay. Talking with someone about what makes your church different? Sure. The truth? Sure. Holy Spirit is comforter. These are all there. All right? Okay. There's been differences for a long time, not just here in 2024, 2025. There's been differences for a long time. Like 2,000 years worth of time. All right, here we go. Let's go Stringer, page 58. Let's do this. Stringer, page 58. Let's run this. Anybody remember what we covered last time? Neither do I. So we're on page 58. All right, it's probably been 3 weeks or so. We're moving on here. Bottom of page 58. Let's see who has a book here. I can't relate. All right, ready? Where it says Augustine. Brother Doug, I think you talked a little bit about Augustine. I was just going to move on to go past and get on into some of the names that you find back in the chart. This guy is too, he needs to be mentioned. All right. This guy named Augustine. Remember, the Catholic Church, was it all established in one weekend? Over a period of time. We talked a lot about Origen in his writings, Jerome, agreed? Well, this guy named Augustine, yeah, sadly, he did the work of Satan, and as a result, other Catholic brethren, not my brother, they picked up on his writings, his thinkings, his work, and helped establish some of the perverse doctrines that we have today. Here we go. Augustine. Jax, I'll let you read that. Go ahead.
The very prominent preacher, Augustine, a bishop from Northern Africa, who greatly left his mark on the church during this time, to the account of his conversion from paganism and his personal growth of the church system, Confession of Augustine has long been regarded as a Christian classic. His preaching and teaching made an important impact in the established church, and his theological ideas still influence many today.
Okay, Augustine, 353 A.D. to 430. Okay, there's your time frame. Looking at your chart, even if you don't write that down, look at your chart and see. So he's alive during this time, 353 to 430. The last sentence is, his preaching and teaching made an important impact on the established church, not our church. Okay, make sure you get this right. The established church, the Roman Catholic Church of the day, and his theological ideas still influence many today. This guy has made, in fact, he wrote a couple books. He has this one that was mentioned here, and it's looked at. Matter of fact, his book, The City of God, promoted the union of the church and the state. He talked about the union of the church and the state. And of course, we see that it takes place when the Roman Empire fell. When the Roman Empire fell and the emperors, his book helped influence the people to look to the church as their government or as their leader, as their go-to. All right? How about the second paragraph or the first paragraph on top of page 59? Who has it? Brother Ryan, you got your book there? Go ahead. Augustine.
Augustine became perhaps the most influential Christian advocate of the union of church and state. His book, The City of God, promoted the union of church and state and became one of the most influential books in the history of the world. As the governmental control of the Roman Empire crumbled, the inhabitants of the western half of the empire had a tremendous opportunity to regain religious freedom and the separation of church and state. However, Augustine's book and his teachings influenced many to look to the church as the new source of government in the West. The state-dominated church would be replaced by church-dominated states.
See that last sentence? All right. Church-dominated states. Do we understand that? Here's one. Let's go back to it. In the country of Germany, what was the church-dominated state? What church was it? In the 1500s. Lutheran. Do we know what that means? Church-dominated? Somebody want to share? Go ahead.
Then you come to this country, and what do we find over state-dominated?
Well, in the state.
States.
Yeah, exactly. Here's one. If you're living in Germany, guess what religion you are?
Yeah.
Guess where your tax dollars go to?
Yep.
Everybody hearing that? And in Brother Josh shares, when you come to the United States, 13 colonies or whatever, you go find a state that sort of supports whether you're a Catholic or whether you're Episcopalian, or it's just what it is. And your tax dollars go, and that's how the preachers are paid. It's how the church buildings are built. All right, do I have a hand?
Oh,
go ahead.
Of England.
The Church of England. Anybody heard about the Catholic, Episcopalian, back and forth, Bloody Mary and all that stuff, right? Yeah, there was a lot of deaths in the name of the Lord, right? Let's go, Brother Ryan, did you finish that? You did, right? All right, let's go Christian. Here we go. Hit him. Page 32, if you would, please. Page 32 at the bottom. Page 32, Christian. Who's there? Brother BJ, you there?
No.
Page 32, starts with a 3.
Yeah, it does. It helps if I'm in the book.
Okay.
Okay.
Very bottom. Last paragraph on page 32. Baptism. Yeah, infant baptism. Here we go.
Infant baptism was not a rapid growth. Augustine, Bishop of Hippo Regis, North Africa, AD 353-430, was not the first to practice it, but he was, though not himself baptized in infancy, its first and ablest defender. He developed the theological argument in his favor. The Council of Mela in Numidia, AD 416, composed of 15 persons and presided over by Augustine, decreed.
Okay, before he reads this, make sure, this is not a Roman emperor here. Everybody got this? All right? This is not a Roman emperor. This is a so-called prominent preacher, so to speak, Northern Africa. Has a council of 15 members. Listen to what he has to say. Go ahead.
Also, it is the pleasure of the bishops, in order that whoever denies that infant's newly born of their mothers are to be baptized, or says that baptism is administered for the remission of their own sins, but not on account of original sin, delivered from Adam, and to be
expiated? I think so.
By the laver of regeneration, be accursed.
Everybody hear that? By the laver of regeneration, right? Anybody doesn't agree with it? What does he say about him? What?
Cursed.
Brother Josh or Brother Jared brings up what happened in the 13 colonies in the 1600s, 1700s. What happened if you disagreed with the state church and baptismal regeneration and baptizing the babies? What happened to you?
Hell or exile.
Okay. This is a problem. It's been a problem for a long time. Augustine, he puts it down on paper. All right? One more paragraph, brother. You're doing good.
It is a suggestive fact prophetic of the future of the First Council favoring the practices of infant baptism. Also accompanied by this, a curse against those who dissented from the opinions of the council. It furthermore shows there were opponents of infant baptism in those days, and that the infant rite was not the universal custom of those times.
But we can see where it started, right? The writings of this guy, the influence, him having this council, heading it up. Remember, the Roman Empire is going to fall, and it's going to come to the religious leaders of the day is what's going to happen, right? Page 59 in Stringer. Go ahead, Brother Jacob.
So, pricing, the election, predestination, depends on the irresistible grace.
Say it again.
So, you believe in the election, predestination, limited on the irresistible grace.
Covers
so
a lot.
You also have to be baptized.
Yeah, and then we have to be baptized. Have you ever heard that one lie has to be said to cover up another one? Oh, it's just about to start here. All right. We're good. Yeah. And it's just going to keep multiplying. If you're understanding, it's got to say one thing, then it comes back and says another one here. Right. All right. Remember, as we read this next paragraph in Stringer. All right. Second paragraph on page 59. Remember, you have it. Nope. You don't have it. Let's see who has it. Brother Nathan, are you there? You have this one about Augustine. Remember, he is not a Roman emperor. Because, see, those guys have stopped persecuting people, right? They're done. Constantine put a stop to it, right? Go ahead. Next paragraph, brother.
Augustine vigorously opposed the independent churches. Toward the end of his life, he advocated torture and death as methods to bring the independents into line. He is a hero to many Protestants today, but it goes without saying that he was by no means a hero to the Baptist churches of his time. He also taught the doctrinal ideas of election, predestination, limited atonement, irresistible grace that later became associated with John Calvin. Augustine taught that any man who rejected infant baptism was an infidel. He believed that the eternal decrees of God were modified when a Catholic priest sprinkled a baby, and baptism would take away original sin. Unbaptized babies were accursed, according to Augustine. That is, of course, pure heresy.
Where does, quote unquote, a prominent preacher, one that's supposed to be going to the schools and reading from the scriptures, come up with these ideas? Well, because when you're not in with the truth and you're a part of a bunch of churches or a work that a couple hundred years before have left the truth, right? You just left to your own thinking. And that's what this is, their own thinking. Go ahead.
So somebody help me with irresistible grace. Is that when I'm being tortured?
Interesting, right? Interesting. Look on. Let's go back to Christian, page 47. Brother Jared, go ahead.
Was Augustine a Catholic, a Calvinist, a Lutheran? Was he just a little bit of everything? Because
I can tell he wasn't a Lutheran. Yeah. All right. So what year was this? 400s.
But say, like, do the Calvinists claim him? Because he was teaching stuff for that John Calvin took later. Do the Catholics claim him?
That's a good question, because he's writing things, and Calvin did take some of this stuff. But remember, this is in the 400s, right? Was the Roman Catholic Church fully established? Fully?
No.
It was getting there. It's getting there, right? You're either a pagan. Oh, by the way, didn't he have a little bit of pagan background? All right, you're either a pagan. You're a Jew, you're a true Christian. I'm going to use that word right here. Or you're one of these that have taken off from back in the 200s.
Protestant.
All right? And he is, brother, he's all wet, and he's caused influence that's still causing influence today. His writings. Go ahead.
I answer no. What may seem obvious, but we don't want to think of it that way because it predated Calvinism. Irresistible grace didn't mean what it does for us today.
Okay.
If when it went along with the infant baptism that he's advocating, if they're baptized, they can't deny the providence of grace in the scriptures. But grace is conferred in the baptism, and there's nothing that else that the individual can do in accepting it, either by faith or any other way, except through baptism. That's when it becomes an irrevocable grace. And that's why it was by Augustine that filters in a couple of different denominations.
Yes.
So we don't even recognize as Catholic, even though that's where its origin was. That's how grace and salvation becomes available, not by faith, by the action, by the works, by the sacrament.
Okay.
That's what irresistible grace meant then.
Okay. The book.
So just kind of your question, kind of, yeah, he has all these different marks, but, you know, many would have, or he would fall under the label Protestant. I mean, he was a Protestant, and in that sense of protesting these other beliefs or whatever. So,
protesting the truth.
Right.
Okay.
And so, we were too good to the church in Salinas a couple of weeks ago, and they had a guest preacher, and he made a comment about some Christian brethren he has that are of other denominations. And, you know, there's no such thing as that.
Okay.
And this, even though he may not have identified himself as Catholic.
There's no such thing, because they tortured their Christian. I mean, he was torturing these Christian true ones to get them to come their way.
He's all of them sharing about a preacher and he preaching and he in the middle of his message. It's like, you know, it's all my Christian brother and my Christian friends. So they're other denominations, but they're Christian.
Universalism.
You know, 1 John 4:6 said, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So this starts off with Augustine's conversion paganism. Converted paganism to the personal growth. I mean, if he was saved, if he was saved, immediately after that, he started following the spirit of error. Because the spirit of truth does not guide you into this. And so, you know, it's the thieves, those are people that they get bumped in as Protestants, and obviously protesting the truth, like you said, but others are, well, they're protesting the church, or they spoke out here, spoke out there. They're following that same spirit of error.
All right, so we're at it. Here's what we do. Here's what I wanted to say. First of all, we've had brethren, not just in recent years, but have held to the truth that there has been succession of churches all the way back to the time of Christ. There have been brethren that have stood up against Protestants, the Reformation, the false teaching, even during Augustine's days and before. Stood up against it. Was not part of it. Okay? And sadly, I heard back here, Satan has been very busy. He's very busy using this guy named Augustine to help. We'll get to it tomorrow, Lord willing. We're going to get back in the Trail of Blood. We're going to look at purgatory, indulgences, the sale of indulgences. Anybody heard of this before? Indulgences, right? If you don't know what that is, we're going to talk about that. Not that we're far talking, but his writings, Augustine's writings and his thinking, Brother Jacob, you were sort of on a roll. Well, to be able to do this, we've got to do this. We're going to do infant baptism. To make things work, he had to come up with something else to make the infant baptism thing work. And then, of course, to come up with that, you had to come up with the money. One thing led to another, and Satan used this guy like a chess piece. All right? And some of the garbage that's out there today, Carol even addresses it in the Trail of Blood, is because of his thinkings and his writings. He is not a Baptist hero by no means. He will stand in judgment one day. God will take care of that. But there was some damage done. There's still damage today. So Brother Cooper, come on up. We'll pick up with this guy a little bit more, and we'll look at the trail of blood tomorrow.